was always burning since the world began.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's schizophrenic career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
And I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. It's episode 3, and time to talk about Billy Joel's breakthrough album, Piano Man.
Piano Man. The album with Piano Man on it. And some other songs, I guess. I don't know.
Some other epic tunes that were covered by other people. It's a great album.
Are you sure there's other songs on this album?
There are. There actually are.
Might just repeat the refrain over and over and over again for both sides of the LP.
For all 9 songs. Yeah. It's just like one extended play. Yeah. Just a bunch of remixes.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
This album came out November 9th, 1973. Adam, remind us what happened in 1973.
Watergate, basically Watergate happened in 1973.
Yeah, it did. I am not a crook. Miller Coors debuted Miller Lite. It was the first mass-produced light beer on the market. After buying the recipe from a biochemist who originally called it Gablinger's Diet Beer, which makes it sound like a beer for a skinny, health-conscious grandma. Oh, just give me a can of the Gablinger Diet. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Gablinger Diet. I'm just going to have one. Sally's going to come over. We're going to have a Gablinger Diet together. Oh, it's going to be good. But then we got to go on a walk because that's a lot of calories.
Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon came out, providing the perennial soundtrack for stoners everywhere, just as Piano Man provided the soundtrack for alcoholics. Not real alcoholics, mind you. The kind of alcoholics who just have to have a glass of white wine at the end of this day.
Ugh. Don't get me started. Jet skis hit the market, giving hillbillies a whole new mode of transport.
Jet skis.
Jet skis.
1973, solid year for Joel.
Solid year for Joel and for jet skis.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of how Billy Joel remembers the Piano Man album.
Piano Man.
In the early 70s, I moved to Los Angeles, and I worked in a piano bar for 6 months. And the song Piano Man was about that particular time period. Kind of a lot of different influences went into this. There's some country western influence in here. Mm-hmm. Bluegrass.
Yeah, there is.
The Roy Rogers Band is playing on this album.
Yeah, so I guess Joel is still out in Los Angeles at this stage, playing with session guys. He doesn't have Liberty DeVito and the rest of the boys in the band yet.
Not yet.
None of the New Yorker boys.
Nope. He just was signed to Columbia, has just left Family Productions. And I think I called him Marty Fripp last episode, but it's actually Artie Rip.
Artie Rip.
Artie Rip, who's the head of Family Production.
Artie, you ripped me off.
Artie, come on. I thought we were friends. I've known you since the first communion. Artie.
First of all, I really like the idea that Billy Joel, super Jewish Billy Joel, is so Long Island that even he had a first communion.
We have to do it. It's cultural here.
That's right. Exactly. If you don't do it, they'll
your property taxes get tripled.
That's right.
And you know how those property taxes are on the islands.
So as we'll recall, Billy Joel signed this really oppressive contract with Audi, signed away all of his publishing royalties, and it was just really, really terrible.
Yeah.
And but he was out there playing and promoting Cold Stone Creamery.
Yep.
He apparently played a concert in Philadelphia where he played a song that would later be on the Piano Man album, and this is how he got his record deal with Columbia. Let's listen.
And the big FM station in Philly at the time was WMMR.
Murr.
And Captain Jack was played at that concert. They recorded it. And it became the most requested song in the station's history. Now, the local promotion guy went back to the folks at Columbia Records and said,
Records.
There's this
Records.
Guy out there who has the most requested song in the Philadelphia radio station's history, and nobody knows where he is and who he is, so we should track him down. And they did. And I got signed to Columbia Records after that.
Records on the last time.
Right. He's what is it, Liza Doolittle now?
That's right.
The rain in Spain stays mainly
in the plane.
On the plane.
Okay. All right.
By George, I think he's got it.
That's where the plane is. It's in White Plains, New York.
He just wants to open a flower shop.
I should say, by the way, I'm getting these from Billy Joel Vivo. These are like little what do you call it, like commentaries from the Complete Albums Collection limited edition box set.
Which I'm actually thinking about buying now.
No, you're not.
Come on. I want it for Christmas. Get it to me.
Baby blue continental, hot funk, cool punk, even if it's so junk, still rock and roll.
So the Columbia Records guys, they start negotiating with Audie over at Family Records and trying to get him out of, but trying to buy Billy out of the contract, right?
Right.
So Billy and his wife Elizabeth moved to
the
Los Angeles.
Mrs. Smalls.
Or did, were they already at Los Angeles? Because that's where. That's where Cold Stone Creamery was recorded, right?
Yeah, I think they were already in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're in Los Angeles, and Billy says that this is his hiding out period because he's waiting for the lawyers to do their thing. So he's working in a piano bar.
Hiding from Artie's leg breakers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's right. He's being billed as Bill Martin because he can't use his real name because Artie has rights to his real name.
Good Lord, who wrote this contract? Can he not read? Like, you're not even allowed to use your own name. I own your name and all of your songs, and I own your grandmother's grave, and sign this.
You know, Billy Joel did not graduate high school, so maybe that's what this is what happens when you don't graduate high school. Okay?
Oh, Billy, stay in school,
stay
you
in
guys.
School, Billy.
Stay away from bad contracts. Stay in school.
That's right. So he's working at this piano bar in, you know, like Hollywood or somewhere. And he is performing as Bill Martin. Elizabeth is working as a waitress at the same piano bar.
She's not his manager yet.
Did that happen? She's
that
his manager?
Happened.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that. And out of that comes the first big Billy Joel hit, Piano Man.
Piano Man.
Piano Man.
It's his first foray into story songs. Anytime anyone listens to the song, it's like you're rocking on a boat. You just have to rock.
6/8 time will do that to you. Here it comes.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. A regular crowd shuffles in.
You can sing along if you want
There's
to.
No, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't heard this song. Making love to there are people who haven't heard this song.
Tonic and gin. I'm going to reverse the name of the drink to make it work with my rhyme. If you have to do that.
He's thinking outside the box.
Okay. Right, here comes the big moment.
He says, son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes. But it's sad and it's sweet and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes.
I need something that rhymes with goes and something about being young, a younger man's clothes.
You are so literal-minded. There's no poetry in your soul.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say something about this song musically, right? Which
right.
is that it is a phenomenal example of one of the most reliable tricks in all of songwriting. Like it really, really works every single time. And that is the octave jump, right? It's when you're down here in the lower octave and it's not very exciting and you don't, right? And then it gets up here and it's really exciting.
What?
Right?
Turn it up in your car.
Octave leap, man. It works every single time. And this is a great example. It's the same chord progression, the same melody the whole way through. It just goes from the lower octave to the higher octave. Da, 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 right?
Do you think it's a little cheap?
No, I'm being sincerely complimentary here. Like, I think that it works really well. I think it's a simple structure. And yeah, octave leap, it's good tool in the songwriter's toolbox. Works every time.
Yeah.
Lyrically, on the other hand,
it's awesome. He's doing his first foray into, and we'll see this later in the Ballad of Billy the Kid, that he's working on story songs that I think he must have been listening to a lot of country music. He's starting to get into this narrative technique that he becomes known for.
Yeah.
He's not really talking about, you know, the wizards who live in the islands.
Unlike Hour of the Wolf. Yeah. Right?
Thank God he has put away the Hour of the Wolf songbook and he's actually trying something new and something Well, he's not really doing anything new there. I think he's stealing from, that's the thing about Billy is that he steals.
Yes, there's
ideas.
Nothing original here at all. Right.
Well, I think he takes something that's original in its own way and then places it in a different kind of an unexpected way, in an unexpected place, like, you know, the narrative song in a pop song. As opposed to a country song. So I think that he's...
Yeah, because no story song has ever been written in this da-da-da, swing time, 6-8, da-da-da-da.
It's a sea shanty.
No sailor has ever written a story song to this meter.
But what sea shanty has, you know, charted on the Hot 500 or whatever? Not any sea shanty I know. So I think...
Stupid sailors. They don't know how to do record promotion, the sailors.
There's no room for an 8-track on the boat.
But can we agree that there are lyrics in this really long song that work a lot better than others?
Yes.
Or the other way around?
Yes. Okay? I can say that.
All right. Sharing a drink they call loneliness.
But it's better than drinking alone.
Come on.
Oh, come on. It's good stuff.
It's not. Okay. You know what's actually good stuff? Here, I'll just try to find it.
And the piano sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer. And they sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here?
You have to sing the song like that.
You do.
You do.
It's got to go into, and this is actually where Joel is really exploring a vocal timbre that will become very prominent in the 90s.
Yeah.
The, like, Stone Temple Pilots, you're kind of like, you're here.
Yeah.
Like, you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really prescient in that sense.
He is,
but anyways,
yeah.
Okay. So I'm serious. I think that, like, you know, the piano sounds like a carnival and the microphone smells like a beer. That's really vivid and really great. It sounds like a carnival because it's out of tune.
Yep.
So it's kind of doing that, like, jangle jangle thingamajig. And mm-hmm. It's also just big and loud. And the microphone smells like a beer because he's, you know, Billy Joel, when he sings, there's some spittle, all right? There's a little bit of spittle when that man sings. And if he's been drinking his beers, he's going to have a microphone that's soaked in, like, cheap beer, right? And spittle. And he's smelling it because his nose is like right on top of the mic.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's an incredibly vivid image and just serves to underscore how terrible the rest of the verses in this song are.
You know, I think it is the high point. I think lyrically, I think that is the high point of the song. But I do think that the rest of the song lyrically just goes to support that high. Microphone smells like a beer.
I suppose, you know, you can't just, you got to go to the low so that you can get up to the high right, again.
Right, you know? It's building tension.
That's right. Lyrically and octavely.
Right.
Darling, only the good die young. Oh, that's what I said. Only the good die young. The good die young.
It's time to talk about our first sponsor today, High Steppin' Ponies and Petting Zoo in Muncie Park, Long Island. High Steppin' Ponies and Petting Zoo for all your first communion needs.
You know, I used High Steppin' Ponies for my niece's first communion.
Mm-hmm. I remember it like it was yesterday.
You know, the ponies came in ribbons. They were all dressed up, some braids, and, you know, my sister is a hairstylist, and she was very impressed with the work they did on that horse
hair.
Very
impressed.
That horse hair looked good.
Yeah, it looked good.
It looked real good.
Now, can you bet on the ponies? Can you bet on the ponies?
You can. They don't go real fast, though. They're held back by all those ribbons. So they're not going to go real fast. The ribbons catch a lot of air, so it slows them down.
Yeah, sure. Well, we want to thank High Steppin' Ponies and Petting Zoo for their support of the program. We know that, it was... You're a nonprofit, and it was tough to get this budget line, you know, past your board.
We appreciate it.
We really appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. It just shows how Long Island loves a hometown boy.
They do. They do. It's real good.
Real good. Real good.
And they're closing all the factories down. But in Bethlehem, they're killing time. On folks standing in line. Father fought a Second World War. Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Meg, before we resume and listen to some other tunes off this record that apparently has other tunes on it, I still don't believe you. Can we talk about the cover art?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Because it really reminds me of something that you would see on that My Daguerreotype Boyfriend Tumblr.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It reminded me of, remember in the early 90s, Linda Hamilton did a Beauty and the Beast show with her boyfriend living in the sewers, but he was like a lion man. It was Ron Perlman. He kind of looks like Beast from the very sad CBS 9 o'clock show that every mom watched in the early 90s, Beauty and the Beast.
It's interesting that you bring up Linda Blair, because the other thing that this reminded me of...
Not Linda Blair. Did I say Linda Blair? I meant Linda Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Did
Damn.
I say Linda Blair?
Well, you screwed up my transition. I'm just going to go with it. Okay. Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
Talking about
this
Linda's.
Really,
Linda Blair.
This face, this Billy Joel, ghastly Billy Joel really face... Is. There's things in The Exorcist where like a demon face will flash on the screen for like one frame of film. That's what this
did
looks
I just
like,
say?
And it's like what led some televangelists like Billy Graham or somebody to say that the negative itself was haunted or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it might have been Billy Joel from
Kodak
Piano Man
Factory, and they're like, "There's nothing wrong with the film." Woo.
Is it actually a daguerreotype, though, this portrait of Billy?
I don't actually know, but I was too scared to find out because it is kind of terrifying.
It is creepy. But what it's got, so it reminds me of, like, because what I really want to talk about is the hair. It's like a daguerreotype. It's like one of those, like, really antique photographic technologies where they actually couldn't really render hair. So what they did was, like stitch some horse hair into the print.
Or even worse, they like took hair from the person when they died and then stitched it in.
That's exactly what this looks like. That is exactly what this looks like. That weird wiry hair that does not look real.
Hibbida jibbida.
It is hibbity jibbity, to be sure. But I suppose it speaks to the kind of the whole, like the old timey theme of this record.
It does.
There's lots of old timey pastiche, including the next song that we're going to talk about, The Ballad of Billy the Kid. And I do have a clip of a 1975 interview when I got to say, Billy is actually looking pretty handsome at this stage.
He's got a tan. He's got a tan.
He's got
and
a tan,
hat.
And he's got those boxer's eyes.
Oh.
Those sad boxer's eyes. Just been punched
Soul
one too many
of a poet.
Times. Okay, here he is. I don't know what this is from. It's a British interviewer, maybe a BBC thing. He looks pretty good.
He does.
Now, that's so simple and fresh. I would never write anything like that because it's too simple. It's too obvious.
The other song that's very impressive off that Piano Man album is Billy the Kid.
It's a nonsense song. In musically, it's like a Western movie soundtrack.
Why did you get the opening? How did you get the opening?
You mean the... It's kind of like, you go into the movies and you see the credits roll down. Randolph Scott, Lee Van Cleef,
I don't know
Clint Eastwood, And the theme is kind of like, one of my favorite pieces is the theme for The Magnificent Seven, which is the which they've made into a cigarette commercial now. But the melody was... could have been a theme to a Western movie soundtrack. So the lyrics to it are all historically inaccurate, but they sound Western, to somebody from New York. Wheel in West Virginia sounds like out West, Utah, Oklahoma, Rio Grande. They are impressionistic in a way, but they're all wrong. I mean, they're all totally fabricated out of my imagination.
So good, some self-awareness here, right?
Yeah, very good self-awareness.
Okay. He knows that this is an incredibly inauthentic exercise, and in fact, it is deliberately so, and we should give him that credit.
And when I first heard the song, it did seem very cinematic. There's so much going on musically on this album. There's the country influence. There is an influence, it seems like, of movie scores. He was thinking a lot of thoughts, I think, on this album.
Oh, big thoughts.
This guy had big thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, Three Amigos Prelude. Then big transition coming up, though.
Yep. rocking that harmonica. Where was that with the Attila album?
Yeah! Now we're back on Long Island.
Yeah, we are! Gonna hang out with my boys.
That's right.
The corner store.
From a town known as Wheeling, West Virginia.
Virginia.
I love that that sounds exotic to somebody from Long Island.
I know.
Wheeling, West Virginia.
It actually is kind of charming.
It is charming.
And his daring life of crime.
It is a sort of postcard
legend in his
vision
time
of East and West, the West
of the Rio Grande.
Now, I will say that in the early days of Billy Joel's career, he was often, press compared him to Elton John a lot, because Elton John was, the only other popular singer who played the piano. And Joel would always, get upset about that. He'd be like, I sound nothing like Elton John, right? But, this song really sounds like Elton John, because Elton John did tons of, spaghetti western kind of crap.
Yeah.
Right?
Was Barry Taupin? Was that his songwriter?
Bernie Taupin. Barry.
Barry. I called Bernie and I said, listen, Princess Diana died. We need to write a song.
Barry, you stole my idea for a song.
Damn it, Addie. Damn it.
Do we have to say anything else about this song or can we move on?
I think we can move on.
Thank you. Oh, 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 oh. Do we go ahead and blast to the climactic final track of the record?
Yes.
Captain Jack?
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack. Oh my God, this song is long.
It's long.
This song.
It's a long song.
This song is 7 minutes and 17 seconds. And there's no bridge or anything.
No,
there's just verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus.
Unrelenting.
Unrelenting.
And it's lyrically, it's unrelenting too. The sound just gets sadder and more depressing, and he ends up not going out on Friday night, but his sister's going out, and it doesn't matter because he's getting high, and God.
You're tired of living in your one-horse town.
Back to the country imagery.
Right.
Like to find a little hole in the ground for a while.
Waiting for the refrain to kick in, so you just have a break from this horrible story.
He loves his humming, Billy Joel does.
He is a good hummer.
Mm.
He's an excellent hummer.
It's like some pornographic magazine.
Get to the goddamn chorus. Jesus.
And you smile.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Yeah, high point of this guy's life.
Captain Jack will get you high tonight. Take you to your special island. Captain Jack will get you by
tonight.
Just a little push and you'll be smiling.
Okay, is this song about Jack Daniels or is it about heroin?
I think it's about heroin.
Okay. Then who's Captain Jack?
Captain Jack is heroin. Or the dealer.
Oh.
That's what I took it as.
Okay.
Or slang for heroin.
Because push is, that's yep. A push is when you inject heroin,
yep.
Right?
Which makes the song even more depressing.
You really think heroin is more depressing than Jack Daniels?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of offensive.
Is it, you think?
Yeah. I mean, just I don't see why you need to impose your value judgments on other people.
On addictions.
Yeah.
Levels of addictions.
You've just internalized the drug war, okay? All right, just because it's illegal doesn't mean that it's somehow more depressing or less moral or anything like that.
Well, you know, what's a class A drug? Alcohol or heroin? Heroin.
Okay. Yeah, you just let the federal government do all your thinking for you, sheeple.
Wake up, sheeple.
All right. What else do we want to say about this stupid song? Oh, here we go again.
Ready? Here it comes. Here it comes.
But Captain Jack will get you high tonight and take you to your special island.
And this is all this song does, just to reiterate. There's no other section.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's unremitting.
Verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse,
yep.
Chorus, verse, chorus.
And, you know, I think that's kind of... I mean, it goes with what the song's about of, you know,
dank,
depressing highs of, you know, the addiction and dank, depressing. But you just sort of wanted... I've never really liked this song, other than the chorus.
yeah, you and everybody else.
Well, it's just, it's too sad. It's too depressing.
Well, we come back to the question about Billy Joel's second person writing, right? He's always writing to a you. To whom he is, of whom he is kind of disdainful, right?
Right.
And often it's a woman that he hates because Billy Joel hates women.
He doesn't hate women.
But in this case, is he singing to himself or is he singing to just some
woman that
person.
He hates?
I don't think this is about a woman. Do you think?
Why? You don't think women are addicts? Boom. Look who just internalized years of marketing.
Well,
you.
I suppose I was thinking about the line where he says, you sit at home and masturbate. And I just don't picture a woman, you know, playing the clitter on with that image. I just see a dude.
Oh, jeez.
You know. Waxing the whale. right?
Well, you know, you don't know all women. You know, some ladies.
I know
just,
all women.
Some ladies just like to pick up some smack and just have a night in, if you know what I mean. What are you going to do tonight, Linda? Well, I'm going to pick up some smack. Going to get some white
smack.
Wine. Going to pick up some smack. Some. Diet beer. I'm going to pick up some diet beer,
yep.
And I'm going to, you know, yep. Have a night in.
Night in.
And it seems such a waste of time, if that's what it's all about. Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out. I'm moving out.
We want to acknowledge our second sponsor today, Dr. James DeOlimpio of Long Island Jewish Medical Center.
Mm.
Dr. DeOlimpio, he wins the Olympics of diagnosing demure on the abdomen.
So if you're the kind of person who is going around to your family and your friends and your coworkers and lifting up your shirt and saying, does this look like it's changing color? Does this look like it's changing color to you?
The borders seem irregular.
They seem irregular, right? Okay. Just stop doing that and go see Dr. DeOlimpio. Okay?
He knows his stuff.
He's the best oncologist off of the Long Island Expressway. If you're going to Long Island Jewish Medical Center, you know, you might be disappointed that, yes, he's a Gentile, okay, but he's a good Greek boy, Dr. DeOlimpio. I remember his first communion like it was yesterday.
Oh, what a, because he's a good kid.
He's a good kid. He's going to look
so
at that mole.
He was so fat when he was little.
So fat.
So fat.
So fat, I know.
So fat.
But here's the thing, is that, like, you're going to go, and he's going to look at it, and he's going to say to you, no, it's not changing color, just stop fiddling with it.
Or, hey, I got 15 minutes between, you know, appointments. I can go ahead and cut that off right now. Don't even have to worry about it.
Don't even have to worry about it.
You got a little bit of a scar. It's all right.
A little bit of a scar.
A little bit of a scar.
Okay. We want to thank Dr. DeOlimpio for his support of the program, and we really appreciate it.
There are giants out there in the canyons, and a good captain can't fall asleep.
So, Meg, you have proven to me that there are other songs on this album.
I have.
Are there other songs beyond Piano Man and Captain Jack and the Billy Kid song?
Yes, there is. It's the first track on the album. It's called...
Travelin' Prayer.
Travelin' Prayer.
You want to listen to Travelin' Prayer?
Yeah. I have to admit, the first time I listened to this album the whole way through, and this is the first track on the album, and I burst out laughing because I had no idea what was going on. It was... Come on, what's going on?
I think you used the word schizophrenic at the top of the show, and that's really right, because I just don't think that Billy Joel has an actual personality or...
He's the talented Mr. Ripley of music.
Yeah, exactly. No, he totally is. He totally is. That's exactly. He has no personality of his own. All he can do is vampirically suck personalities and musical styles and ideas out of other people.
I don't agree. I think that what you're seeing as stealing, I'm seeing as being inspired by.
Inspired by, sure.
Inspired by.
All right, we'll see what the copyright judge says.
Fun fact, though, Dolly Parton covered Traveling Prayer in 1999 and won an Emmy for it. She said she was always a huge fan of Traveling Prayer, and her version is just so good.
I mean, she can make anything good is the thing, right?
I guess she went in and messed around with the arrangement, and she did make it a better song. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Billy's defense, he doesn't have a bluegrass background, and he still wrote a good song. He still wrote a good enough song that Dolly Parton was always a fan of it and just wanted to tweak it a bit.
I'll grant you, if it's good enough for Dolly, it should be good enough for me. You're right about that. Okay. Something that's not good enough for anyone, however, is this other song on this record called You're My Home.
Oh, I was really hoping we didn't have to bring this one
up.
Oh,
we totally have to listen to this one, huh?
It's the most codependent song in the world.
When you look into my eyes and you see the crazy gypsy in my soul.
Okay.
It sounds like a corporate jingle from the 1970s for like a railroad or something. Like, I'm coming home to you.
Or an insurance company, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where's the, now there's the mom and the little kid and the dog. And the dad's like, oh, I need to get home. Right? Because he's going home.
Going home.
On
he's
the
also,
railroad.
Again,
him.
Referring to a woman as an inanimate object.
Yeah, it even gets weirder later on.
You tell me everything will be all right. You say, use my body for your bed.
Mm. Yep.
And my love will keep you warm throughout the night.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Billy hates women.
Well, the weird thing is Helen Reddy of I Am Woman, who was the poster girl for second wave feminism, covered this song.
Let's listen.
When you look into my eyes and you see the crazy gypsy in my soul.
Okay, so
it's terrible no matter who does it.
No. Billy, first of all, it's Romani, not gypsy, okay? Jesus. And also, stigmatizing mental illness? Really, Billy? Jesus.
Just wrong on so many levels. It does seem incredibly codependent.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm seeing, imagining like a commercial from like breakfast cereal. It's like, take a minute with your family. Breakfast with Yum Chums. In like that 1970 hazy, how everything was shot, like it looks like somebody had just licked the
the camera lens. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yum Chums.
For the longest I thought, voice you're hearing in the hall, and the greatest miracle of all is how I need you, and how you needed me too. That hasn't happened for the longest time.
Well, Meg, it's time to update our Joel Power rankings. Listeners will recall, our dedicated longtime listeners will recall that we're keeping a running tab of all the Billy Joel albums and ranking them from best to worst. At the moment, number one is still Attila.
Attila!
Attila! And then we have Cold Spring Harbor and The Hassles and Hour of the Wolf is down at the bottom position right now. Where do you want to put Piano Man?
You know, the last couple of episodes, I've been the one to place the albums, and I feel like I'm railroading you into loving Billy as much as I do. What do you think, Adam? Where would you put this album?
I don't want to put it at number one. Can we put it at like number 17 and then leave the rest vacant from above there?
It seems to me like we're always wanting to put everything at number two.
Well, it's hard to top Attila.
It's really hard to top Attila. So which one did you like?
I think that, in all intellectual honesty, I think we have to put this at number one, above above Atira.
Atira!
And then, yeah.
All right.
Hopefully something will come along to displace it from the number one slot shortly.
Well, all right. Piano Man is now our new number one. So next week, we are going to talk about Street Life Serenade, that album.
That guy right there.
That guy.
He knows what he did.
What?
He knows what's up, this guy.
Hey, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Entertainer is on this one, so I'm excited about, you know, really digging into that.
Sure, and there's some other songs maybe. I don't really know.
And seeing what kind of cover art there's going to be.
Another daguerreotype.
I'm just trying to think, how's he going to creep it up? How's he going to make it weird? Because he likes to do that on his albums.
You know, it occurred to me after we taped our last episode about Cold Stone Creamery that the cover art there, the Joel in that cover art, you know who he looks like?
Who?
The... King Charles, the one that came back after the Restoration, right? The one who was really horny.
Yes, yes.
And he had like the long flowing dark black hair, jet black hair, ebony hair, and a porn stash.
And the plague was going on, but he was still knocking boots with every lady in London.
I know. London burned down on his watch, and he had lots of flowy shirts like Joel does.
King Charles Spaniels.
King Charles, really?
Yes, he loved those dogs. And named
how much did he love them?
He loved them.
He loved those dogs.
One of them's now the Duke of Gloucester.
Duke of Gloucester. Okay, so we have King Charles era Billy Joel in the last album. This album that we just talked about is...
kind of Cat Stevens-y.
Yeah.
Kind of...
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, do we buy the sensitive singer-songwriter thing from Billy Joel, or is he just conforming to what was popular at the time?
Well, the thing
was, he trying to be James Taylor?
I think, again, he is very easily influenced. Like,
he's very impressionable.
He's very impressionable.
Billy's a very impressionable boy. Meg, are you going to leave us with any of Billy's words of wisdom this week?
There's so much wisdom on this album. I had a hard time choosing, but I'm going to go with a stanza from You're My Home, Billy's Ode to Codependence. Mm. Home could be the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Could be.
Indiana's early morning dew.
Or that.
High up in the hills of California.
High up there.
Home is just another word for you.
Because you have no agency or personhood beyond being something that I possess.
You're a thing. You're just a thing.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do.
Check you next time.
Bye.
Join the conversation about Joel on Twitter. We're using the hashtag JoelHole.
You can find Adam on Twitter at @aragusea. I'm on Twitter as well at @DonahueMeg. This podcast is just a hobby project created by us. And we're not using it to make any money. The opinions expressed are our own. They're not our employers. They're not our families. They're nothing.
They're not the dogs.
What do you want from us?
And yes, we should acknowledge that some of the sponsors that we talk about on the show are in fact real businesses, but they are not actually our sponsors. It's called Humor People.
I mean, come on.
Really?
Really?
Really? How old are you? Bum, 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 bum.